Hey, everybody. Welcome in. Thanks for joining us. I'm James Adams. He's Skeeter Robinson. It is the Fantastics, My Fantasy Fix DFS podcast. Skeeter, it's about time to get ready for a WGC. One of the events I really like. I like all the WGCs because they have that guaranteed money. The no cut brings in some of the players, the big prizes. But this one, it's the match play. And it is my favorite WGC. It's probably my favorite event outside of the four majors and the players. The Ryder Cup doesn't count. Maybe Wasted Management. Maybe the Memorial. But you get the idea. It's one of my favorites. It's match play time, dude. If your bracket was busted a week ago, you've got a chance to fill out another one. How you feeling? How you ready? How you doing? And are you ready for a little bounce back bracket from your basketball one?
Yeah. Well, certainly. Yeah. I mean, my basketball weird. Basketball one's weird. Like, I'm not. I missed a lot of those seven, like those 8-9 games. I never get those right. 7-10s. I mean, I did okay, but I still have three of my four Final Four teams left. The only one I don't have is I lost Auburn. So as long as Kansas doesn't come out of that bracket, I still think I could be okay. But that's a lot to ask for, and I just worry about my minor little first and second round picks not winning, that could come back to haunt me. But no, this golf bracket, my gosh. As I was kind of talking with you before we went on air, like, there's some pods who are just like, oh, I actually have to pick a winner? I have no idea who picked a winner. And then there's pods like, oh, why are they all in the same pod together? Why did these two get paired up? So it's fun, and just even picking through the bracket, it's just, oh, it's tough.
We do need to take a look back, but because I have to follow up your point, I love what they've done with this tournament. Instead of making it one and out, you get the three matches, the four-man pods. So these Wednesday, because this will start Wednesday, right? You have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday before you get the pairings down to 16 players that remain. I love these matchups you're talking about, dude. I am going to be glued to the television as if I wasn't going to be anyway. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So I hear what you're saying, because there are some pods where you're like, man, both of these players are probably playing top 16 type golf and would definitely advance another pod, but they won't here. I am super stoked, ready for this 5 days of golf. I mean, it's basically, we got 2 days off because of the late finish of the players. Then we're going to get 2 days off because of the early start of the Dell match play. The sandwich in between of those, the meat for this particular sandwich, would be the Valspar. And Skeeter, we always take a look back. I don't want to look back too long, because this was probably the worst week so far of 2022 for me. I absolutely got goose-egged on Thrive, on DraftKings, and at the sportsbook. It was an abomination of picks for me. I'm going to just wave it off. But I got to tell you, as we will look back here at the Valspar and Sam Burns defending his title, I'm very happy that we don't have a normal tournament, a normal DraftKings-style play, a normal betting-style tournament, because I need a little – I want to continue to watch golf and root for golf and bet on golf, but I also need a little shakeup. So this week off of typical play is good for me. I don't know about you. It was a bad week for the Valspar, but I still enjoyed it.
So I didn't get to watch any of it. It's pretty busy, and then even, you know, watching or basketball, but I got to listen to a little bit of it. For me, I had 1-6-6. It was just a fine 6-6. I made cash, and I won another lineup cash, but nothing spectacular for me. But apparently in Valspar, we just got to start looking at defending champions trying to repeat, because Paul Casey went back-to-back recently, and now Sam Burns did, and boy, apparently Burns just, maybe he just doesn't like the West Coast, because did he play well at the Players and then coming here to win at Valspar again? Like, he, you know, guy from Louisiana just likes the South apparently, and impressive. And, you know, Davis Riley, you know, we kept seeing the commercials on him for the Corn Ferry last year, and he kind of got lost, but yeah, I think he reminded everybody, oh yeah, hey, there was a reason he was highly touted on the Corn Ferry Tour.
And he reminded us all how we can take that stumble when he tripled whatever the par 5 number 8 was, maybe? Or no, he made an 8 on the par 5. I forget what number it was.
First, wasn't it?
Was it the first hole of his? I'll be honest with you. I was doing some other things on Sunday as well. Weather in this area has been beautiful. I know he took a triple. I didn't think it was his first hole, but either way, he did take a triple and still fought his way back into the playoff. We had a 2-stroke lead when he took it too and found his way back in the playoff. We had another good playoff. And how about that putt from Burns on the playoff, dude? And then he was fired up because that was a putt from distance. You don't expect to make that one very often.
So I still haven't seen it yet.
It's a nice one.
I was on the road a lot on Sunday, so I didn't really get to see it. And I think I must have been on my car because by the time I got back in, they were interviewing Davis Riley, and I kind of figured out that he lost the playoff. So I kind of missed all that, or at least the second playoff hole I missed.
Hopefully next year it will go better than me. Before I have nothing left to say about Valspar except for, you said you had a 6 of 6. I set 10 lineups. 0 6 of 6, 1 5 of 6, and it was not a good one. It was as bad as it gets, bro.
Hey, it happens, and guess what? It's the nice thing about golf. There's a new one this week.
Well, let's tee it up, and are you ready to start talking Dell Technology Match Play?
Yes.
Let's do it. So we moved to Texas, the country club at Austin, Texas, and this is a really cool course. I know it's one of the ones we played on the video game before. It's got the drivable par 4. So I'm pretty excited about this tournament. Plus, I just love match play, whether it's the fact that we only get it every once in a while. It's how I play in my league. So I play match play way more than I watch it. But I just love match play, so I'm really excited about this tournament. What is it that you look at, be it because it's match play versus stroke play or because of this particular course? Is there a set of statistics that you can look at? Because unlike most courses or most tournaments, this is not an equal thing. I could play a very bad player and get lucky, while another player could play very well but get stymied by a great player. So how do you break this whole thing down?
It's tough. Stats-wise, it's a fairly short par 71. I think there's like 4 or 5 holes that are 400 yards, and a couple and par 5s are reachable, the 3 of them. So this is a lot of wedge ranges to look at, 100, 125, 125, and 150. Obviously, with the par 11 par 4s, I'll look at that. But basically, it's scoreable enough that I want birdies, I want opportunities, I want tee to green. I will look at scrambling a little bit, because there's just enough little oddities here at Austin Country Club that you can scramble. And besides, scrambling par sometimes can win you a hole in match play, so... So I'm kind of looking at stats a little bit. I'll look at Pete Dye history, because this is a Pete Dye course, so some of the Pete Dye specialists are always a consideration. But then I also kind of took a look at match play records. Let me see if I can find this. I found this site a few years ago, and the guy does really good. AdamSarson.com. Adam, SARSON.com. He has match play records for every player who's ever played in a Ryder Cup or President's Cup, any Euro match play type plays, and even the WGC match play. So I kind of look at that just to kind of see how do some people fare. Because some players, of course, are really good at stroke play, but they just don't – it doesn't translate over to match play. And you have some guys, like, even who are in poor form, that always tend to show up in match play. You know, your Ian Poulters, your Kevin Kisners, guys who've had massive success in match play competitions. Those guys, I think, always get a little bit of an extra bump just because they just have that mentality to be able to do well at match play.
You mentioned those two, and it's like, what do I think about those guys? It's mindset. Like, just tough. Don't give up. Tough guys more than anything else. And it's like hard to figure that in golf. Like, who's, you know, tough guy isn't always something you look at, but that's exactly what I think of those two. Kisner and Poulter, very mentally tough players who play great in match play.
No, when you look who's won here, Scheffler, Kisner, Bubba won. Louis come close. DJ, like,
you could just put that on a loop for every tournament that's worth something.
That's true. Louis come close, except the Open. He's got that.
Well, he's won that. That's right. He's got that one in the bag.
Or maybe it's anything in the United States. If it's been a tournament Louis played, he's come close. Yeah, that's probably right. But I don't know. It's you know, I don't think you need a whole lot of length. I mean, obviously we saw DJ and Rahm a few years ago, but outside of that, Kuchar's played well. I think he's won here. There's just enough, like, these grinder guys, these hit fairways, hit greens. That's kind of all you need to do. And again, in Austin, there's some elevation changes. There's some weird oddities. You mentioned drivable par four. I'm thinking that, was it 12 or 13, that water hole? Like right
yeah,
by the
for some reason I was thinking 10, but maybe 10's the one with the bridge with the big drop off, and then 13 or 12 is something. But it is the water hole, right? Where the green kind of curls to the left
yep.
from the fairway, yeah.
And then 18 is like an uphill. You can drive it sometimes, but there's that big swell to get up there, and it's a great finishing hole, and there's some risk-reward to that one. But I guess the other thing, too, here is, like, one of the reasons I'm not looking terribly much at bogey avoidance, because, you know, you don't want to make bogeys, though, is, hey, if you hit one or two in the water, it's all right. Yeah, we're good. I'll lose a hole. Let's move on. Like,
pick it up and move on. Yeah, it's definitely a more aggressive mindset, I would think.
Yes.
With these pros.
Yeah, like doubles. I mean, who cares if you make a double bogey? You know, if the guy's, you know, if you have a bogey putt and the guy's got 10 feet for birdie, you miss a double. All right, pick it up. Let's move on. And
yeah.
You know, or just, you know, even a 3 foot, 3-4 footer sometimes get halved. Like, all right. So your bad putters, you know, like Luke List, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, he might get a gimme or been, you know, might concede the putt, and hey, good, I don't have to putt this out.
Definitely a different just style of play. And I think that's what I like so much about it. Just that one-on-one, right? Like there are plays where there are holes where bogey will win it and birdie will half it for depending on who you're playing. It's just, I think there's some variance to it, right? If there's a lot of luck of the draw, more so than even what we saw in the players, that which was obviously very much luck of the draw for the late early tee time guys. But this can be a lot of luck of the draw on who you play, if you even have to play them. I just love this tournament, man. It's just so different. And I'm so ready for it right now, too, after Valspar. But again, I digress from my bad week. Are we ready to get into this field, Skeeter? Is there anything else you want to break down?
Yeah, I want to say the other thing, too, is when you were mentioning like that birdie, you know, birdie to have, or you'd be like Sergio last year, who had to go to the playoff against Lee Westwood to win to the pod playoff, and he aces the hole to beat Lee Westwood.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I think I had Lee Westwood too. So I was, I saw that and started laughing and smiling. Like, hey, if you're gonna lose, you might as well lose the hole in one. And then I think Sergio the next day in a quarter in a round of 16 match. Let me see. I'm trying to look to see if I'm right on this. No,
I know what you're talking about. He was playing Ricky Fowler. Wasn't he?
No.
And he like took too long, or was this a Ryder Cup thing that I'm remembering?
That might be Ryder Cup.
Okay. Because I remember Sergio like taking way too long to look for a ball or something, and he felt bad about it, and he ended up giving. I thought it was Ricky. It could be somebody else. Like a 40-foot putt to either win the hole or have the hole because he felt bad about the previous hole. Which is something you see, sportsmanship does take a big place here in match play, too.
Yeah, yeah, no, I must say, I thought Sergio won with a hole-in-one, and then I thought somebody made a hole-in-one against him in the round of 16 last year, but I could be wrong on that one.
I don't recall that, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. I think I've used all my brain cells for the match play memories for the Jason Day, Victor Dubuisson playoff, that there's no way we were going to get into this thing without mentioning him. I don't care if neither one of them's in the field. Still, probably my favorite tournament to watch that wasn't a major too, that magical playoff where Dubuisson just kept getting out of trouble. Hope to see something like that again.
His escaping jail.
Over and over again, right? Like at some point, Jason Day just looked at him and just laughed. Like, and Day did eventually get the win, but he just looked at him at some point and was like, how do you keep doing this, man? And that's how he got the nickname the Magician. Hopefully we see him again. Hopefully he is not gone.
We've seen him play in some Euro Tour events, but not sure if he's going to make it back here anytime soon.
We'll see. Well, anything else before we get into the field?
No. I guess from a... How do you, we're just going to talk about each pod, right? Because
I think so. Because pricing certainly doesn't reflect the seeding necessarily. And that's something you have to get into. And I think maybe this is a good time to talk about simply how you're going to do your DraftKings lineups. Because we're both going to set a bracket without question, but I'm going to set, I don't know if I'll set 10 lineups because of the small field. We'll see how it plays out. But while we do break the player pull down bracket by pod by pod, a four person pod, you do want to think about the way you set a lineup, right? Because you you don't want to play in the end. You want to have four golfers from four separate quadrants, with the idea being you can have the final four, and then your two other golfers will clearly come from already used quadrants, preferably not two from the same quadrant as your third and as your fifth and sixth golfer, if you get me. So ideally you would want no more than two golfers from any one quadrant as well. I don't know that that's a must though.
Seems
logical, but
I think ideally you want six of the Elite Eight. So you kind of want, like, you don't want a sweet, you know, the round of 16 matchup. So let me pull that bracket. Like, if you like John Rahm and Harold Varner III, you don't want them on the same team because one of them is going to get knocked out in the round of 16. Now, granted, I guess in cash, maybe that's a worth looking at, but I don't think that's something you really want. You especially don't want two people in the same bracket. So you don't want
Rahm and Reed.
Right, or you don't want Spieth and Rose. Like, because you're just killing your upside. So you want one from each quadrant and at least one more from each side. So that way you could have six of the final eight.
So I was also thinking about this, player percentages. Like, there are times where I'll say, okay, I'm willing to use this player in 50% of my lineups. How high is too high in a percentage in this field, considering you only, you know, you're playing six of 64 golfers. So you're roughly playing 10% of the field already. And I'm thinking that with along the lines of saying, okay, maybe I want, you know, eight John Rahm lineups and then two Sebastian Munoz lineups. Is eight Rahm lineups too many? Is 80% too much with a player? Is there a threshold, and is it different than your normal field events?
I don't think it's different than normal field in that aspect. I guess it's more of what's your risk tolerance. Like, if you're convinced Rahm is going to steamroll, then play him in a bunch of lineups. If not, then kind of hold off. So I think it's just kind of a personal risk assessment, just like, you know, in any given week.
Okay, and that's fair, because this is just such a different animal that I feel like it's worth bringing up the point. And by the way, I only bring up Rahm repeatedly because he's the number one seed overall, not necessarily because I love him this week, which I do, but I don't. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Also, remember, you don't have to pick somebody from each bracket pod here. Like, even if you're playing multiple lineups, there's a couple pods here where, like, I don't want anybody from this pod, but whatever, I got to pick somebody from my bracket. So, and I think there's even an aspect where my brackets and my DraftKings picks might look a little bit different. Like, I might take, you know, I don't want to ruin it, but there's one pod where I'm like, oh man, I could legitimately use all four of these guys. And, you know, my official pick from that pod might not be who I play out of that pod on DraftKings, pricing and other strategies involved.
Yeah, so I get you. And by the way, when we get to those, that's where I'll be 30% here, 30% there, and then hoping that I pick the right, whichever one of those ends up being in the Sweet 16. I hope they're matched up with the right other pairings that I put together with them. I'm sure it won't happen.
Yeah, see, I love watching this. This is my least, this and maybe the Tour Championship are my two least favorite DraftKings golf slates of the Hero World Challenge of the year.
I don't even play Hero, but I'm with you. It's FOMO, because you want to have lineups in. You want to have a chance at a sweat, but at the same time, I'm with you. And remember, on Sunday, I mean, you're going to be watching four golfers. Two matches, and then they're going to redo it one and two, three and four, two matches. So it's, you know, you're hoping you're dialed into those guys, but we'll see. I don't know. It's such a different event. I love it.
Oh, I do too.
It's different.
I like this from a betting perspective than I do a DraftKings perspective.
Are we ready to get into this bad boy?
Yep.
All right. Well, normally, Skeeter, we start with the 10K plus tier, but guess what? There's like eight guys that are in that tier, and that's not how we're doing it today. We're starting with the bracket. We're starting top left if you're following along. So we're just going to talk about pod number one, and that's John Rahm, Patrick Reed, Cam Young, Sebastian Munoz. Skeeter, I don't know about you. I mean, we're not going to go favorite or whatever. We'll just talk about the pod. But you've been on Cam Young for a little while. Mm-hmm. Sebastian Munoz had a good player as a player you identified before the tournament. Rahm's world number one, man. Well, you didn't use him in DraftKings, but you did use him at the bar, man.
That's right. Did. Yeah. I forgot about that.
And then Rahm's world number one, to me, the quote-unquote two seed of this pod is the easy man out for me. How are you breaking this one down?
Cam Young might get a little bit of steam, but here we have a PGA Tour rookie playing in this, and he's got to see Rahm. Like, that just pass. Reed, no. Munoz is probably the wild card in this. Like, he gets super hot, but boy, he could be bad too. I just don't see any. There's some other guys I would consider here if they were here to maybe knock out Rahm. Because I'm trying to. I think Rahm was the only one seed to advance last year, but previous years we saw 5, 5, and 8, I think, or something like that. But I think Rahm to me is going to get out of this bracket, this pod.
I'm with you, and I would probably use Munoz secondarily. We'll see if I go 80, 90% Rahm. I don't know that I'll go 10%, 100%. And again, like you said, I cannot use this pod too. So there may be lineups where I simply don't use this pod. So we'll see if I use how much we go here. Obviously, price will be a thing. Any interest in Patrick Reed due to the fact that he is Captain America? He's had some great match play moments.
Yeah, I mean, he is showing some life again, but I don't think so.
I'm with you. Let's go to the next group, and this will be the one that plays the one seed. So this will have your lowest number one seed, Brooks Koepka, the 16 overall seed, with Shane Lowry, Harold Varner III, Erik van Rooyen. I don't know, Skeeter. HV3's been playing pretty good, but this feels like a two-man race up top to me.
All right. I'm throwing you a curveball.
You like your boy EVR, huh?
Yeah. As I'm narrowing down my stone, I gotta update that one. All right, EVR for me. He's top 20 in both the wedge ranges, which I think is kind of something I do want to kind of look at over the past 36 rounds, because there's a lot of wedge shots. Even in the past 12 rounds, he kind of fits there. Fifth in approach over the last 12 rounds. He's been sneakily playing better. Like, his shorter-term stats are a little bit better than his longer-term stats. So I think that attracts me there. Even, you know, die stats, he's okay on Pete Dye courses. Here's my thing. Brooks, sure, I mean, he's fine. Lowry's been playing so well, it almost feels like at some point this is just kind of going to have to come crashing down. And is he going to make enough birdies to do well in match play? I looked at his record. Hmm. He does not have a great match play record, so I think that was a concern.
Same he is a par kind of grinder. That's a really good point, because I like Lowry, but you make a good point there, man.
I mean, if this turns into windy and bad weather, then absolutely Lowry. But match play on this course does not seem like a one where par is going to do a whole lot of good. So, and I think Lowry will be popular because I think people are just going to look at this and, oh, hey, this is an easy non-number one seed to take. Varner's interesting because he's been playing well and he can get, you know, he'll make a bunch of birdies. He can also make some bogeys. But without much conviction, I don't have a real convincing pick in this group. I'm just going to go EVR just because he has pretty good wedge. You know, his 100 to 150 is pretty good.
Man, this is one I felt really good about that now I feel less good about, but that's okay. That's a conversation I like to have. I felt like it was Lowry, Brooks, and then the other two were kind of odd men out. Maybe I'll have to change my opinion. That's where I was at coming into this thing, though.
Yeah, but yeah, this is just, I mean, this is probably a better group to watch than it is to bet on or DraftKings, but EVR will at least provide some savings at 6,500. So that makes him, I think, in play.
I think they're all in play. If we saw what remember what we saw with Beauregard last year, came out of nowhere.
That was a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, a couple years ago because he beat Tiger. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and there will be a lot of, this is like the new age college basketball tournament. There's a lot more upsets than what the college basketball chalk used to be anyway.
Yeah. And by the way, yeah. So what was a Beauregard a few years ago, Tani Hara, the year Rahm did it, Victor Perez last year, like, there's always some random international player who pops out of nowhere to make like an Elite Eight Final Four thing. Wasn't it Sharma? Didn't Sharma have a good one?
Maybe.
a few years ago. Like, I think he made, what, 16 a round of eight, but I thought he had made a run here.
I just remember being so all in on the number nine seed from this year, last year, that let me down. That's my biggest takeaway from last year, was how big of a disappointment Bryson was, because I loved him going into this thing last year, and, well, he didn't make it out of group stage.
Well, he's the next group we're going to talk about, so good
for him. Let's do it. Yeah, so the nine seed, Bryson DeChambeau with Taylor Gooch, Lee Westwood, Richard Bland. Okay, I really thought I had my eyes on one player in particular last tier. What about this grouping of four? There's one player that I think I really like above the rest.
Well, I'm ready to hear you say that, because I don't like anybody in this group.
It's Taylor Gooch. He's been playing decent right now.
That's my Richard pick.
Richard Bland is just kind of a filler. Like, I'm not trying to be rude to the guy, but he's kind of just a filler in this thing. I'm not ready to give it to Lee Westwood, but Lee Westwood's got a lot of match play history. Bryson's hurt, and quite frankly, if you told me Bryson's only here because it's a WGC, it's a guaranteed paycheck, and he wants to try and get into some competition before the Masters comes around, I would say that's exactly what I think's going on. So that's my feeling on Bryson. There's no way I'm taking him. So it'd be Gooch or Westwood. I'm going with Gooch.
I am too. Lee Westwood is not playing very well. And you know I love Lee Westwood, but
yeah,
this is just this is one of those pods where I'm just like, I don't want to pick anybody from this one, but Gooch by default.
I think I'll have Gooch in a lot of lineups. He'll be an easy guy to make my number six if he fits price-wise too, simply because I'm thinking, okay, I think this guy's in the Sweet 16 anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't have him moving on, but I have him winning the pod, but not doing much in the next match.
I would imagine that's where I'm going to. And we'll get to that next group as we finish off the first quadrant in the top left. And it's the Dustin Johnson, Max Homa, Matthew Wolf, Mackenzie Hughes. Lots of M's in this one. A couple MHs too, by the way, if you're going initial game. I don't know what the heck that means. Skeeter, are you taking one of the MHs as your pick?
I am not. It's Dustin for me, who's starting to kind of come back to the Dustin that we're familiar with. He's won here. Good match play. Like, I also like his mentality here. Like, he just doesn't let things bother him. Like, he'd make a double and be like, whatever, like, move on here. So, Dustin's my pick. The wild card here for me is Homa, because we've seen the crazy upside. He kind of pops up now and there, but I have no interest in Wolf, and Mac Hughes just feels outclassed in this group.
So it's Homa or it's Dustin. It's Homa for me.
Okay.
You're right that Dustin has started to show some signs, but he's not putting it together on the regular. Now, look, if Dustin goes out there and has one of his good days against Homa and he wins that matchup 1-0 clean, then he has a good chance of moving on. If he has with Homa, I'm not feeling great. I mean, I feel like Dustin's a lot more likely to have with Wolf or Hughes. I mean, maybe not Wolf because he's playing so bad, but I just feel like this is one where the matchup between Dustin and Homa is going to determine who makes it. Homa's just playing really good right now, so I can't get away from him. And I have a feeling like when it comes to spending and pricing, it'll just be easier to not spend up for Dustin just simply because he hasn't put it together long enough for me to feel good about it.
But he's sitting there in the low tens. That makes it interesting. And him and Homa won't play until Friday,
which will be a fun Friday, because then that could legitimately be a play-in game, if you will, if you want to use some terminology from the other sports.
Right. I mean, unless Mackenzie Hughes' putter just gets insanely hot, which wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world.
Yeah, I'm not banking on it, though.
I'm not either.
Shall we go to quadrant number two?
Yes.
It's Scottie Scheffler, Matt Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, Ian Poulter, Skeeter. I like this grouping. I think I like the one seed, but boy, you could convince me any of the four could win this one.
So when I first saw the bracket today, this was the I started on the top left, started going down, and I was like, okay. I get to this bracket, this has group of death. Like, Scheffler, the defending runner up here.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick, who's been playing well. Fleetwood, who has a decent history in match play, and Poulter, who is a great match play player. Like, this will be a fun group. You know, Scheffler to three Englishmen. Could put Hatton in this group just for fun, but Poulter's my pick. He's just one. I mean, his match play record is outstanding, and he tends to make runs in these things. So he's not playing great, but you know, Fleetwood's okay at match play. Fitzpatrick not very good. Scheffler, he was runner up here last year. Like, I don't honestly think that Scheffler Poulter day one matchup might determine the bracket.
I'm kind of with you. So I'm going to go away from Fitzpatrick because I've been kind of all on him here for the last month, and it's been, you know, good, not great. So this will be the week I don't pick him, and this is the week where he hoists some silverware, of course. but I'm going Scheffler personally, but I'm with you. Yeah. This is one of those groups where I will probably use three different players throughout my – if I set 10 lineups, I'll have a lineup with – probably three different one of these guys, but I'll go Scheffler here. The Texan has obviously been playing really good and played really good here last year.
Yeah, no, I can't argue it.
Then we get to this tier, this grouping, the 12 seed Billy Horschel with Thomas Peters, Tom Hoagie, Minwoo Lee. Skeeter, I feel like I'm just going chalk here. Maybe you could talk me into Hoagie. I don't know, Lee and Peters, good world golf ranking, but I don't see enough of those guys, and they don't play with the big guys enough. And I know they do play in tournaments to get them to the spot. I just don't believe in them enough that, for me, it's Hoagie or Horschel, and I'm going to go with Horschel.
I am going Hoagie.
Okay.
He just continues to play so well. He's number one in this range over the past 36 rounds from 100 to 125. Good approach, good birdies. He'll give himself plenty of opportunities, plenty of birdies, which I think does play into strength here. Horschel's the defending champion, so, I mean, he's certainly in play, and if the seeds hold out, last year's championship match would be a quarterfinal Scheffler and Horschel.
Yeah, a little nice Saturday morning.
Could be, yeah, but I just, you know, as I said, I never get Billy Horschel right. Do I really think he's going to go back-to-back years and winning? No. Hoagie's just, He has a crazy hot upside. He's been playing so well that I'm just going to continue riding that. Not that Horschel's been playing bad either, but I'm just going to try to use this as my chance to kind of pick against a one seed.
If you're separating the two, Hoagie has won, Horschel has not.
Yeah.
I mean, recently. Obviously, Horschel's won more in his career. But, yeah, I'm going with Horschel, but I think it's Horschel or Hoagie. This next group is very interesting to me as well.
Oh, yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton, Daniel Berger, Siwoo Kim, Christian Bezuidenhout. If somebody's giving Berger three-footers, he could be dangerous.
Yeah, and this is one where I don't like anybody from betting. I don't like anybody from DraftKings, but man, good luck figuring this one out. Like, Hatton's starting to play better. Berger has been good outside of the finish at Honda. Siwoo Kim, peak dive specialist. You never know what you get on him. And Bezuidenhout, like, he's almost like spinning his wheels a little bit. Like, he's playing okay, but not well enough to threaten any tournaments recently. I took Hatton here, but I have no conviction on this winner.
I want to take Hatton. I feel like Siwoo Kim is probably the guy I'm going to end up penciling in, though. Hatton's been playing very good. You're right. I don't know. Maybe it's Bezuidenhout. Maybe I should go with him because I can't play him in our league this week. This one is another one where I think it's going to be fun to watch, and one where I won't have a high percentage ownership of any player in it.
Actually, I just want to see Hatton just go nuts and, you know, hit a bad shot and start going one of his temper tantrums, see what Siwoo Kim responds with.
I would love to see Daniel Berger take a questionable drop, because I got news for you. Tyrrell Hatton is not going to be as polite as Victor Hovland was, and Victor Hovland wasn't very polite.
Wasn't like, I think the argument too is like, if Hovland is calling you and saying your drop is wrong, like, Hovland doesn't speak up against anybody. So if he's saying something, that's you know.
And if you're talking about Ryder Cup adversaries, not that Joel Damon's ever probably going to play in a Ryder Cup, but he's still an American. And he did not take the American side there. He was with Victor.
Right. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention this. Going back up a bracket or two, Poulter is my first pick, my first bet, 90-1 to win. Like,
true, in a 64-man match play tournament, that's a nice number.
I mean, we've just seen Poulter too much. So I've already made two bets. He's one of them. I don't think he wins at all, but I just couldn't pass that up.
That's a good number to have on. If they played this thing 90 times, he'd win it once. That's for dang sure. He'd probably win it more than once.
Possibly.
All right, we got one more left side of the bracket pod, and it's Patrick Cantlay, Sung Jm, Seamus Power, Keith Mitchell. I'm not real sure what I want to do here either.
Nope. Same thing here. Like, Cantlay and M just not playing that great. No P-Tie specialist here. No great match play records. I'm going Seamus Power. I think he's probably playing the quote-unquote best of these four, but again, this is another one I just don't have any conviction on.
I'll take Keith Mitchell.
Okay.
I thought about Sung Jm having the Koreans battle off with Siwoo Kim, but I've got Keith Mitchell in there right now with about the same level of conviction that you have for Seamus Power. I know I have Power in our league, and I can tell you he's been a player that I wasn't using because he had been so bad. I'm pretty sure he's been good very recently. He's been okay very recently.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. This is what I could change my mind on if I hear if somebody has a convincing point. But I really wanted to take Sungjae. I just couldn't do it.
Yeah, he was the first one I penciled in. And I went with Keith Mitchell just because I'm like, you know, I know a lot of the quote-unquote four seeds of these pods will advance. So not necessarily in this next pod as we move to the right side of the bracket, top right. It's the number two seed, Colin Morikawa, Jason Kokrak, Sergio Garcia, Robert McIntyre, Skeeter. This was an interesting one. I like the top three. I'm not. Maybe I like one and three here.
I mean, Bobby Mack won his pod last year, but it's Sergio for me. Morikawa feels like something's a little off with him right now. I've played him the past couple of weeks, and something just isn't there with him. Missed at the players. He made the cuts at Valspar, but did absolutely nothing on the weekend. So. Something's a little bit off, or I don't know, but give me Sergio, just another guy who has done very well in the history of match play. The most experienced here by a mile over any of these guys, and I think that does play a role in this, so I'll take Sergio to win this group.
Yeah, that's who I've got, too. I could be interested in a Morikawa or Kokrak lineup, but I think it's Sergio for me, too. So I'm with you. All right, let's move to the next one. It's Abe Anser, Webb Simpson, Brian Harmon, Bubba Watson. There's two guys I like better than the other two in this one, Skeeter, but it doesn't follow the seeds.
Boy, I like all four of these guys. Like,
huh.
Like Bubba's won here before. Harmon's had a nice history. Answer's a die specialist, and Webb plays well on die courses. Like, I don't know, outside of Bubba, like, Answer, Simpson, and Harmon are more of the ball striker type guys, find fairways. Bubba, I mean, we've seen lefties do well here, so even Bobby Mack up above, Harmon, Watson, like, this is a fairly wide open. Like, I don't think this is going to get the attention of some other groups, but this one intrigues me a lot of it. In the end, I ended up with Brian Harmon just because he's the best Pete Dye player. Maybe because I used him last year and he did pretty well. But yeah, Answer the Dye specialist. Simpson's starting to come into play a little bit and Bubba's some past success, and he's been playing okay. So, fun group. I go Brian Harmon, but again, no conviction here, but I do like this pod.
I go Harmon as well. I like him. I mean, Webb's just not doing enough for me lately. Brian Harmon's been playing really well. Bubba's been hot and cold, right? He was like, oh, he looks so good, and then he missed the cut at Riv. He had that great day at the Players when the weather was horrible. Then the weather cools off, and Bubba cools off as well and can't play when the weather lays down. Answer has been okay, but I like Brian Harmon. This was kind of an easy pick for me of Brian Harmon, and maybe that's just being too recency biased with having played him in a few lineups lately, and as well as both of us were on him last year when he out-dueled Cantlay to get to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and then he, I think he was down two or three against Bubba early on, and he won like six in a row. Like he
That's caught right.
fire. And then even against Kuchar, he didn't play bad. I think Kuchar just kind of was like getting up and down, saving and making, you know, saving pars and making birdies. Like,
and Kuchar plays his place well, right? And he's a Pete Dye guy.
Kuchar?
Yeah.
Yes, but he's not in the field this year. But, yeah, which is probably good for the rest of the field.
Yeah, he was actually playing good Sunday, too, if I'm not mistaken. All right, let's go to the next group, because I'm with you on Harmon. It's Louis Oosthuizen. It's Paul Casey, Corey Connors, Alex Noren. Where are you going here, Skeeter? I'm not sure what I'm doing.
I mean, I tend to rely on my veterans who have good match play history, and Louis certainly fits that mold here. He's made some deep runs in this event before. Casey is a tough. I mean, this is a tough bracket. Casey fits well here. Norrin is that kind of that grinding Euro type, and Corey Connors, shorter course, usually does very well. So again, another wide open field, but just give me the experience of Louis here.
Yeah, it's Louis or Casey for me, and I have no hard time believing that the other two guys could advance, but it'll just be Louis for me and Casey when I'm setting lineups.
By the way, I believe this is the only pod where there's not an American.
Hey, good eye. That's right. That's good. That's good eye. Corey Connors lives in America Junior, if you're a Simpsons fan. I digress. All right, let's go to the next pod. It's Xander Schauffele. It's Tony Finau. It's Lucas Herbert. It's Takumi Kanaya. I will be honest with you, Skeeter. That is the player I know the absolute least about in this field.
Yeah, I don't know much about him either. Lucas Herbert hasn't been playing well. Finau hasn't been playing well. Schauffele by default. But Schauffele does have some... I thought I had him. Hold on, give me a second here. Pull up the stats. Like, Schauffele over past 36 rounds, second and sixth in those proximity ranges. We know he can make birdies. I know it's not a no-cut event, but he seems like the standout to me in this group. Like, I don't like any of the other three right now. And while Schauffele's not playing the best out of any of these one seeds, I certainly think he's got enough capability, and he tends to kind of pop out every now and then at some of these events. So I do like Schauffele to get out of this pod.
I like Schauffele big time. And let's remember, when he missed the cut at the Players, he was in that bad side of the T-wave. So to me, it's Schauffele, and it's not even close, which means it'll probably be somebody else.
This is the Takumi Kanaya breakout.
Seriously. Like, I'll be like, okay, I know who he is now. When we get a couple deeper, yeah. Because to me, it's pretty easily Xander with the way Finau's been playing and Herbert and not knowing enough about Kanaya, but we'll find out.
That's right.
Well, we got another decent grouping, at least when you get up top. It's Justin Thomas. It's Kevin Kisner. It's Mark Leishman. It's Luke List. And oh, by the way, we are into the fourth quadrant. This is the first grouping of the last four.
Oh, this might be the group of death.
Yeah.
It's either this one or the Scheffler group.
I think it's the Scheffler group, personally.
I mean, Kisner is a match play specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Leishman has a good match play history. Justin Thomas is playing really well right now. And Luke List is, you know, his stats are very good. Again, hey, he might not have to putt some of those 3.5-footers. It might be conceded to him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just it's a loaded group. I looked at this one for a while. I ended up on Justin Thomas. He continues to be number one in all my stat models. First in par four strokes gained, first in opportunities gained, first from 125 to 150, 11th from 100 to 125, third tee to green, seventh in birdies or better, seventh in approach. Like, he's just doing everything. He's playing so well. Like, there's a JT win coming here at some point. I'm not sure this is a spot. Maybe I'll wait for 2 weeks for that one. But this is just a good spot. So,
for Justin me, Thomas is playing so good. He's so incredibly overdue to win. I'm with you.
Yeah.
But if you ask me, yeah, like if you ask me, Kisner, JT, I'm taking JT. I like Kisner. Kisner's in the wrong group here. This is the one seed you don't want of. Leishman's just not playing consistently good enough yet. And I'm with you with Luke List not necessarily having to make all those short putts. I don't know. If it comes down to Friday and I'm playing against him and I'm in contention, I'm making him make those putts, though. I mean, I understand that there's a give and take in every match. But for me, I just feel like JT just stands out too much to not take him here.
Like, I would have Luke List in other pods. He's just in the wrong pod. Same with Kisner.
If Luke List was 56th instead of 53rd and was in the Kanaya spot, I'd give him a solid chance to take out Xander.
I would, too.
Just not this pod. It's the wrong pod for him this time around.
Right.
The next pod, I think, is very interesting.
I do, too. I laughed when I saw this one.
I love this, but dude, I'll tell you right now, I'm taking the four. It's Jordan Spieth, it's Adam Scott, it's Justin Rose, it's Keegan Bradley. I already said it. I'm taking Keegan Bradley. He's playing really good right now. As you said a couple of weeks ago, he can play some die courses okay as well as he did at the Players. I feel like Keegan Bradley's my guy here big time.
I mean, this is like three vets and Spieth, and Spieth is like, of the young guys, feels like the most vets.
With three majors, he's the young guy. But you're right. But you're right. Meanwhile, I think the other three have three majors combined. How about that?
Listen, hey, all major winners in this pod.
That's very true.
I'm with you. I took Keegan.
Yeah, he's just playing really good right now. Vampire has been whatever. Adam Scott has been hot and cold, but Bradley's been really hot here the last couple of about the last month, dude. So I'm going with him. And Jordan is just got, I mean, we know Jordan can be great. We know he can recover from everywhere, but I'll go Keegan.
Keegan also a really good Pete Dye specialist. He's fifth in my Pete Dye model, so 10th in Tee to Green, 10th in opportunities gained. So he does play very well here. Spieth, just not, you know, too much trouble. Scott, too inconsistent. Rose, just not playing well. So, yeah, Keegan Bradley. But, yeah, this one has some name value.
Yeah, I'm looking. So, I'm looking. The sportsbook I go to didn't have odds out for this yet. They did for, what's Punta Cana? Is that the other tournament that's going on this weekend? Corrales? Well, there's an alternate event that I saw odds for. Besides the one I'm currently communicating with you about. So when I'm looking at DraftKings, Keegan Bradley's 90-1. I'm sure I'll get a taste of that along with the top four. We'll see what my book has by the time I get out there either tonight or tomorrow morning. If they don't have odds, it's not going to be tonight. I'll tell you that. But at any rate, we've got two groups of four left to go, Skeeter. It's Joaquin Neiman. It's Kevin Na. It's Russ Henley. It's Mav McNealy, which, by the way, Sam Burns bowed out after defending his championship at the Valspar, and that's what got Mav McNealy in here. So there's your four here. Skeeter, I'm down to two players in this one.
I'm not. This was a very clear one to me, and it's actually my other bet at 46-1. Russell Henley.
Okay, he's one of the two I like.
He is just popping at every stat model I look at. Past 36 rounds, he's second. Like, he's top half in everything except scrambling. Over 12 rounds, where are you at? He's sixth in the model there, number one. I mean, he's consistently great in those wedge ranges that I'm looking at. Consistent across, yeah, top 10 across all models I look at, short-term, long-term. And even on Pete Dye, number one in the approach past 24 rounds, third in both wedge ranges on Pete Dye courses. Like, he's rating out really well for me with everything. 46-1. I know Henley doesn't win a ton in his match play record, and whatever. But I think, you know, Kevin Na, you know, he's coming off, you know, the baby. Neiman, you know, obviously we saw him win at Riviera. But and McNealy, yeah. I just like Henley a lot. Everything's just kind of standing out for me for Henley.
Neiman is the other guy I liked in this group, but Henley was there as well. I'm with you on Na, just, you know, he's been out. He hasn't played lately. McNealy, happy to be here. So it seems like Henley or Neiman. So I'm glad at least you were on, you were vehemently on one of the two I had. I like Neiman as well. I'll use him as well. But I had Henley in my bracket.
I mean, not that it takes much for me to like Henley, so.
Well, not me either now that he's on my team in our fantasy league.
Jerk.
That leaves us one group left, Skeeter. It's Victor Hovland, Will Zalatoris, Cam Tringali, Sepp Straka. Is this one as clear-cut as I think it is?
Maybe for you, but it might be clear-cut for me, but we might be different paths. Hovland was... This is like fourth week in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, he just... I don't know. Like, I mean, I've played him every single week, so I know how he's been doing, but it just, I came in and I was like, you know what? I feel like he might need a break. He's just, I don't know. Something seems, you know, I guess, you know, as far as this match goes, like, something, you know, he's liking that weekend or that killer instinct or whatever that, you know, where he's won so much so recently that I think I came in like, I want to take a stand against him. And for Zalatoris to be the one to take a stand against, I'm perfectly fine with. So for me, it's Zalatoris.
Okay. I definitely am not on Straka. Cam Tringali is not going to win six matches or whatever it takes to get his first win on tour. Not that that means he can't get out of the pod, but I was between Hovland and Zalatoris. I was all about Victor Hovland. I think I still am, but I know what you're saying. It's been a grind for him, and his Valspar performance left a little bit to be desired. He was also coming off of that late finish at the Players. I'm going to give him a go again. So I'm with Hovland here. He's in my bracket here.
Straka did pop up a little bit for me when I looked at the stats. Like, he might be one I could mix him in a little bit. Good burners are better in the past 12 rounds. Good par four. Number one in putting, which, you know, that could always come out a little bit. Like, I think at 7K, he's actually a decent value play, but I don't know if he wins the group. But I think he's at least semi-live to compete here.
Skeeter, how deep into this bracket you want to get? You want to tell me your final four? You got a winner picked? You want to just leave it at that and make some plays?
Well, we can do final four.
All right, well, I've got two Spaniards and two Americans.
Oh, I have two Americans, a Brit, and a South African.
All right, well, I've taken Sergio over Louis Oosthuizen in that matchup to face Keegan Bradley. We'll see if that's just me being an idiot. And then I've got Rahm and Scheffler on the other side.
Okay. I have Dustin Johnson against Ian Poulter.
Okay.
And I have Louis versus Henley. Oh, okay. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. Louis versus Henley.
I'm okay with that. And from there, it's hard for me to take the world number one, John Rahm. So I'm going to go Scheffler. I'm going to go Sergio. I'm going to say Scheffler gets it done in the home state of Texas. Oh, who, nice. By the way, Scheffler's won twice here in this calendar year already, right?
Yes. Where else did he win?
I don't know. He won like two tournaments in the matter of three starts, right? He had a first, a seventh, and a first as I'm trying to scramble back over to that side. He won the API. He won the Waste Management. And he finished seventh at Genesis. In between
that's right.
He was lackluster, to say the least, at the Players.
Well, but the Players again. I forget what weather draw he was on.
It's the Players. He made the cut. It's the Players. I mean, everybody gets a. Nobody dominates that year in, year out.
Right. I go Henley over DJ.
Okay. I wouldn't mind seeing it. Of course, it would be Henley getting a win when I don't have any interest in our league, but that's okay.
I mean, I'm just going with the. I mean, some of it's my, you know, again, two guys that I tend to like a lot, so not exactly shocking. But it's just one of those, like, you know what? Let's just have fun with it. And, you know, I would assume this would be a pretty unique combination.
I would imagine as well. And I just figured out something when I was looking at my my phone to get these bets from the local casino. I guess I needed to be clicking on WGC instead of PGA Tour. So is this not a sanctioned PGA Tour event, or is that just somehow separated on this app for the website that I'm gambling at that you don't even go to?
No, it must be just the app, because no, this is sanctioned by the...
Oh, yeah, we're on the PGA Tour website looking at this bracket. I'm an idiot, dude.
Well, and the DP World Tour, and I think all the other tours, anytime there's a WGC, it's sponsored for all the tours.
Yeah, they all look at it. All right, well, I'm just an idiot, Skeeter. I didn't click on the right buttons, but that does mean I could drive out to Indiana and make my bets tonight if I need to.
All right.
We'll see. So, Skeeter, we've broken down the bracket, and I love this tournament. I mean, I'm a broken record with it, but I just do love this tournament. I'm very much looking forward to it. And it doesn't matter who it is in the end, because I do like the fact that you get some of these guys that come out of the blue a little bit. I'm not saying it's going to be Takumi Kanaya, but he only has to beat one player at a time. He doesn't have to take on the entire field at one time. And so it creates these cool storylines that I just really dig. I hope we get those again this year. I have a feeling we will. We always seem to.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know who the... I don't know if Henley counts as, like, the shocker, but, you know, there'll be somebody who just comes out of nowhere. Like, we're in a world... Like, maybe it's, like, Minwoo Lee or something that just comes out of nowhere.
Potentially. Speaking of guys on my team, didn't draft him for this tournament. Oh, well. Skeeter, we do have to take a one-and-done pick here. Now, everyone gets paid, so the good news is I'll finally pick a player who gets paid because...
Okay, same here.
It's been a bad go, bro. I took Abe Anser for Valspar. Missed the cut. It's been a bad run.
I mean, I took Kokorak, so...
It's been a bad run. What are you thinking of when you pick a player here? Because you've got the guaranteed money, so no matter who you pick, you're getting paid. But you're certainly not going to take a Kanaya or a Minwoo Lee or a Mav McNealy, right?
No.
How far up the board do you go for one of these bad boys? Or is this a week where you go, you know what, I'm taking a stab at my guy Louis or Poulter or whoever, one of these match play guys, maybe not Kiz because he falls in the bracket with JT. I don't know. I've given you some options. So how do you approach this week?
Who do you think wins? Who do you think, you know, because we haven't seen we've seen, you know, DJ Rom. I mean, that DJ Rom final. Rom was, I think, still, he wasn't top 10 in the world at that point. I think he was still, like, second or whatever. But yeah, I think, you know, find somebody that you like and just kind of take a stand with them. And for me, I like Russell Henley a lot. He's my pick.
That's not a bad pick. I'm looking at Taylor Gooch thinking, man, I'm intrigued by you. I know you think he gets ousted by, if he makes it out of his group, he gets ousted by DJ. But I'm just like, I'm starting to think maybe I just pick somebody I feel really good that makes it to the Sweet 16 that plays Saturday morning and hope I get lucky from there.
Look, match play has a lot of variance to it. And we've seen that throughout the year. So, like, to me, this doesn't feel like one where I personally want to burn one of these top 10 golfers. Like,
speaking of burn, I should just pick Sam Burns. I'll get the same amount of money I've gotten so far this month anyway. It's bad, dude. It's been a bad run, dog. I don't know. I need to get back to work. I don't have any money. I don't have any gambling money sitting to the side anymore.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm exaggerating a little bit. Trust me. I don't wager enough to be broke the next week, dude.
No, I know.
I'm goofing, but it was such a bad week, dude. It was such a bad week.
It happens. I mean, golf is just a lot of these fantasy sports are silly in the grand scheme of things.
Sure.
Trying to predict fantasy golf is just nuts. And it's kind of where I felt like I was a little bit last year where I was just in a rut and just nothing was ever working out, but eventually it does come around. Like, you know, I know I've ridden a hot streak for a little bit, but it's, you know, your time is coming, and all it takes is 1 week, and, you know, stick with your process.
You just put a really big irrational smile on my face because I thought, I do remember Skeeter being ice cold. And then he hit on Thrive. He's been hitting on DraftKings. He's been mashing it. Oh, by the way, I'm interested to see how Thrive does the contest this week. I don't know if I even remember doing it last year. So that'll be very interesting, right? DraftKings has this different variation. By the way, when you're setting your lineups on DraftKings, they tell you right there what grouping they are in. So you can look without even doing a bracket. You can look and say, okay, I have three guys in group 13 or whatever. Just make sure they're putting it right there for you. They give you the information. Make sure you use it. I can't wait to see what Thrive does this week. I haven't popped them up yet. I bet you they have contests running. That'll be interesting too.
I haven't played there much recently. I did at the start of the season, but then I've kind of gotten busy with life, as I'll call it.
Valspar destroyed me on Thrive, too. Like, usually, at least I'll hit on one of the 4 days there. Nah, not even there. Actually, I don't see a contest up there yet.
Yeah, they don't have anything. So maybe they're just taking the week off for match play.
Hopefully they don't. I'm such a degenerate. Like I got goose egg last week, and I'm begging them to put up some more contests to take my money. We'll see how it plays out.
You know what, James? They're making you save your money for your personal tournament next week.
Yeah. I didn't mention that to Rob in our league group text, but he did call it the wrong thing. I figured I'd let him know next week.
Well, I can't believe I'm second in the league in that thing. Like, I've had a first, a second, two thirds, a fourth, and an eighth, I think. And I'm still getting beat.
That's because you've got chumps at the bottom like me who haven't had their first round pick yet, and their second round pick has been and then their fifth round pick, Seamus Power, was terrible for a month.
I mean, I have lucked out that one of my later round picks is now even in this match play field, Cam Young.
Dude, my best picks were probably round 3, Russ Henley, round 6, Keegan Bradley. Like, those are my good picks right now.
Oh, and I have them both. That's a potential Elite 8 matchup.
Oh, yeah. This week. Yeah, I'm pulling for it. I have that matchup in my bracket, dude.
I have JT being Bradley, but
it could happen. Me having Bradley over Henley, or I'm sorry, well, both, actually. But me having Bradley over JT was me just saying, there's a ton of variance. If I'm going to hit this bracket, it's not going to be what you think.
Hey, again, I think embracing the variance here is, I mean, you got to pick your spots. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is just going to be nuts. So just, you know, have fun with it. As far as being a DraftKings, I've usually only played one lineup because it's just like, I don't want to figure this thing out. Like, I haven't figured out if I'm going to play one lineup or if I'm just going to play like 10 and try different combinations. I haven't figured that out yet.
I feel like I got to like 6 or 7 last year and I went, okay, I'm setting the same, very close to the same variation. And I'm not a max entry guy. So like, I know that is the philosophy for some folks, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to set a lineup with 4 of the same guys 8 times and just tinker with those last 2. Maybe, you know, if I was doing this professionally for 8 hours a day, that's what I would do. But yeah, I got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm setting the same lineup. I'll quit. That's probably what happens with me again this year. I'll set that cap at 10. And if we get there, cool. If we don't, so be it.
Yeah. This just feels, yeah.
Don't go crazy in the end is the message there, right? Like just, this is not the week to bet everything you have.
Right. Right, yeah. You know, being interested in some live betting, you know, Friday nights, you know, when we're down to 16, like, there might be some interesting opportunities once that plays out.
It'll be something to keep an eye on. This would be a week as much as any, right? Because it's not like your guy's in the top 16. He's one of the only 16 remaining. So it is a much different thing. Again, it gets back to the difference in this tournament, why I love it so much.
Right, or even playing each round, each day, finding the odds, certain round matchups, like, might be a decent idea to find some plus money on some golfer, you know, like, you know, in my case, you know, I like Russell Henley a lot this week. Like, who's his bracket? You know, like, I'm curious to see what the price he is against Neiman on Thursday, or
Thinking like when Harmon plays Answer, right? Harmon seating wise would be plus money there.
Or, mate, we'll see. And Spieth, like, I would assume there'd be some public money coming on Spieth. Like Sergio against Morikawa would be another one that, you know, you could potentially take advantage of. If I like EVR a little bit, I think he's in a decent spot. I mean, there's certain pairings where if somebody's, you know, plus 150, plus 200, like, all right, works for me.
Man, if you had a scramble with Keegan, Adam Scott, Jordan Spieth, I'm just looking at this. Just let Spieth make the putts, man. Bradley and Scotty will get you on the green every time. What's wrong with me? How does my brain are? It's Monday night, and I'm already like, we should make a – this is a good four-man scramble. Actually, which one of these 16 pods is the best scramble group?
You know what? I kind of like that. That should be a tournament. Four-man scrambles.
Oh, my God. You think that the numbers at Kapalua were crazy this year. They'll be at that number in a 27 holes.
But that's the thing is, I just like to see
– But that would be fun, right? Like, that would truly be carnival golf.
Right. Or you do it somewhere – You stretch Torrey Pines out to play for the tips. Four-man scrambles.
Man, the DJ Homa grouping, if Matt Wolf could find a fairway, would be a good scramble group. Let Matt Wolf hit his drive if he hits a good one. No, you let Dustin hit the fairway, and if he hits a good one, you let Matt Wolf swing for the fences. It's a whole nother conversation on these foursomes, dude.
I mean, Justin Thomas off the tee, Kisner on approach.
Oh, yeah.
Leishman putt? Well, we know it's not Luke List putting. Louis, Casey, Connors, Norton. Good grief, they'd have 4 fairways to choose from, and one of them's got to stick it close.
Who's going to make a putt for Morikawa, Sergio, Kokrak, McIntyre? You let them all 4 take a run at it. I would think one of them's making it.
Or here's what you do. Four-man scrambles. But what, you know, whoever's tee shot you use, they can't hit the rest of the hole.
There you go.
And whoever the last guy is has to finish it out. So, or maybe on par 5, you modify it a little bit. But
yeah, it's a scramble. You got you. If you're not in 4, you just take par and move away.
Or bogey, but yeah.
Well, not with these pros. No, your par 5's a par better. Move on.
No, you got to make the tough. You know. I don't know. I like this idea. Four-man scramble ideas.
I just looked at that grouping and I was like, hey, that'd be a good scramble group. I'm such an idiot.
Koepka, Lowry, HV3, and EVR.
I mean, Harold can make some long putts now. Brooks can hit some bombs.
EVR, well, as long as there's not water involved. Even DJ, DJ Wolf, Homa, and Mac Hughes. Yeah, just got on the green, let Hughes putt.
There you go. Let Homa putt the way he's hitting them lately.
You know, I know this has gotten sidetracked. I like your idea. This is fun.
I just saw the Bradley Spieth combo because my first thought was just the two of them. Like, and then I thought, well, let Bradley and Scott both hit play target practice.
Rose can stick a shot. His putting has been bad a couple of years ago, but
yeah, but we don't like to give him any credit.
I do. You don't.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. The vampire, which he did come off the ban list, so I guess we, you know, I digress.
How mad are you be when he beats Bradley and wins this group?
Not nearly as mad as when Martin Laird made that birdie putt at Shriners 2 years ago in the second playoff hole. I'll never be that mad or disappointed. I don't know what it was.
Hey, I'm happy I'm going back to Henley after he blew a 5-shot lead with 9 to go at Sony when I had him.
Well, let's hit some good ones this week. What do you say, brother?
I hope so.
You got anything else for this match play championship?
I don't.
Well, hopefully, if you tune in enough, you'll see one or two Victor Dubuisson highlights from Dove Mountain from many years ago. And after that, just enjoy your Austin Country Club scenery.
Are you going to, you know, since you know you're such a fan of Victor, are you going to listen to the same Harrop song about him all over again?
I sometimes wake up singing it, but keep in mind, I love the Madonna song that he used to begin with. Okay, I don't really wake up singing it, but La Isla Bonita is one of my favorite songs, dude, and I love Madonna. So that's part of the reason, like, when that one came out, I was like, oh, my God, I love this obscure golfer, and this is one of my favorite songs in the world, and it sounds great on the piano when this guy's playing it. Like, so it was just a perfect storm.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. I may indeed be listening to that. Skeeter, you'd be surprised. Like, I take a shower and I throw my phone next to the shower and I just put on YouTube and play music. And every once in a while, all of a sudden Sam Harrop songs come on in the mix because I listen to them on YouTube too. So it does happen where I just find myself getting ready for whatever and I am listening to that.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Puts you in a good mood. Do it.
Amen to that. Well, Skeeter, with that, let's put a bow on it. Good luck to you. Good luck to everybody. And enjoy the Wednesday start. This is your PSA. The matches start on Wednesday. So make sure you have your lineups in by late Tuesday night, very early Wednesday morning. But, Skeeter, good luck to you. Good luck to everybody. And let's bring home another winner.
I hope so. We're due.
For Skeeter Robinson, I'm James Adams, and this has been the Fantastics My Fantasy Fix DFS Golf Podcast.